sat down with our favorite Vatican watcher, Joan Lewis, EWTN's Rome Bureau Chief, for a look at the past week's events here in the Vatican and beyond. Come join us in studio. Hello, Joan. Nice to have you back again this week. Lots of things, of course, have been happening, beginning this past week with the visit on May 13th by Pope Benedict to Tuscany.
Yes, he went to Arezzo, did not go to Laverno, which was on his schedule, but very, very bad wind prevented him from going here. And it was kind of a shame because he had really wanted to visit this mountain shrine where St. Francis received the stigmata, but the weather was really, really bad. And I don't know what time it actually hit in Tuscany, but I can tell you in Rome, about 8:30 at night, because I was dining outside with friends, about 8:30 in Rome, I'm going to say in an 8 to 10 minute period, no more. Sky was black. The amazing wind came up. As you know, we've had wind, strong winds, for like 5 days in Rome. So today seems to be good. But so the weather, the wind did affect the Pope's visit to the mountain shrine, but he did go as planned to the last stop of the day, which was San Sepolcro. Had good crowds, notwithstanding the relatively imperfect weather, but the Mass, obviously the usual Angelus, and he told the citizens of Tuscany, I guess you can say, because they came from lots of little towns nearby, and he said to be the ferment in society, the yeast, if you will, and to be present as Christians, be active and coherent, which is a theme, actually, if you read enough, as we do here.
He touches on quite frequently.
Yes, he does, if you read enough of his talks and homilies and so forth. And he said the whole church is sent out to the world to preach the gospel and salvation. But it's always God's initiative. I like that. He calls us to different ministries so that each one plays his proper role for the common good. And then the Holy Father talked about the area that he was in, saying this was the birthplace of great Renaissance personalities. And he named some of the people, poets and artists and so forth. And he said such men played an active role in affirming the concept of man, which left its mark on the history of Europe, and that, I mean, Christianity, you know, drawing strength from Christian values. Because that's almost another theme. It's the de-Christianization, practically, of Europe, the rise of a very strong secularism, which the I think was certainly going to be a focus of the new evangelization, the upcoming synod in October, the year of faith and so forth, to bring Europe and many other places back to its Christian roots.
Or to at least even to acknowledge those Christian roots.
Oh, yes, exactly, because, of course, as we know, years ago, they were writing the preamble to the European Constitution, and they didn't even want to put the word Christianity in or recognize, as you said, the Christian roots. And if you don't do that, you're denying history. You know, and if you don't look at the Christian roots and you take away anything associated with Christianity, you're going to take away schools, you're going to take away monasteries, cathedrals, libraries, Christian Catholic universities. There'd be a lot of vacant lots if you took down all the structures really that, you know, were church-related. But his final stop of the day was in the town of San Sepolcro, which really means Holy Sepulcher. And he, the purpose was to make a pilgrimage to a famous crucifix there. It's known as the Santo Volto, the Holy Face, and it's in the local cathedral, and it's apparently unusual in the sense that it is a carved wood crucifix made from a single walnut log between the 8th and the 9th centuries. So not only beautifully done, but very, very antique. And if memory serves me, the Holy Father in San Sepolcro was celebrating the 1,000th anniversary of the founding of this town. So,
well, let's go on then. For later on in the week, we had, of course, the Wednesday general audience.
It's a catechesis on Christian prayer, but he's turning to the teaching of the Apostle Paul in prayer. And he said that St. Paul's letters show us the rich variety of his own prayer, which embraces thanksgiving, praise, petition, and intercession. And those really are the four types of prayer. He talks about the insistence that St. Paul has of saying that the prayer that is within us, that is born, which is our conversation with God, our talking to, and if we listen, you know, our talking with God, this all really comes through the Holy Spirit. And it's even the Holy Spirit that comes to our aid in moments of weakness. The Pope quoted specifically the 8th chapter of the letter to Romans, where Paul says, "The Spirit intercedes for us, unites us to Christ, and enables us to call God our Father." So a lovely catechesis. And interestingly enough, at the end of the audience, the Pope did greet Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga. He's the president of Caritas Internationalis. And he said he was delighted to see him there with members of the executive board and council. And there was a big meeting, as a matter of fact, in Sicily with Caritas. And he said, the Pope said, "Your presence here expresses your communion with the successor of Peter and your readiness to welcome the new juridical framework of your organization." I think it was just about a month ago that the Vatican released a note from Cardinal Bertone, Secretary of State, and other organizations that really determine this new juridical structure, which office in the Vatican would oversee Caritas and so forth. So that was some good news. And,
okay. Well, all other things, of course, that were on the agenda this week, the Feast of the Ascension, which was celebrated on Thursday.
Very quiet day in the Vatican.
Many parishes will be celebrating that on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Throughout the world, many churches do. It was actually a fairly quiet week for the Holy Father. I mean, from the point of view of audiences. Now, Saturday does receive the bishops from the United States. This is the last group of bishops in Rome on their ad limina. They began last November, all the bishops of America. And normally, as we know, an ad limina is every 5 years. This, for them, it had been 7 and 8 years because of the illness and death of John Paul, the election of a new pope, beginning of a new papacy. A lot of things were just kind of put on the back burner. But what's so fascinating about this, and I think you've spoken to one or two of them as well, this last group is Region 15, and they are all the bishops of the Eastern Rite churches. So, Ukrainian, Chaldean, Melkite, Maronite, Ruthenian, all these different Eastern rites. And one of the bishops was telling me yesterday that there's 22 of those different rites. But this is their first visit as a region to the Vatican. Before, the bishops always came with their geographical area. So if they were St. Maron of Brooklyn, of the Maronites, they would come with the New York, with the East Coast people. But now all of the Eastern Rite bishops have come to Rome as a region, and it just makes so much sense. They meet as a region in the United States. They meet at least once a year, sometimes twice in St. Louis. So if any of our listeners have ever attended any of their rites, they're extraordinarily beautiful.
Well, they date back to the early Christians.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And you know, it just doesn't get any better than going to a Mass, hearing the words of the consecration said in either Aramaic or Syriac, which is kind of a dialect of Aramaic.
Which
Jesus
is the
language.
Exactly. Jesus' own language.
Oh, so, and they're very beautiful rites. They're extraordinarily different from ours in many, many ways. The one I went to this week was a Maronite rite, and there's no kneeling. There is standing and there is sitting, but there is no kneeling. And then they did have prayer books ready for us. Part of it was in the Syriac language and part of the liturgy, which they don't call Mass, but part of the liturgy was in Syriac. So that was nice to follow. Well, follow the English. I could not follow the Syriac. But I hope that our listeners have a chance at some point in their lives to experience the beauty of an Eastern rite. And the words themselves of their entire liturgy are sheer poetry. So though that must have been a good moment for the Holy Father, because he's very attached to Eastern monasticism. He's obviously always has the Middle East regions on his mind, from which these bishops either come or from which their rite comes. So,
And it's interesting because that the very fact that they are coming over as a region follows also on the heels of the Synod for the Bishops of the Middle East, which was held
2010,
back in 2010,
yeah.
And now Pope Benedict will be going to Lebanon to present the Apostolic
Exhortation. In September, so we always have to hope the situation in that part of the world is, you know, conducive to a visit.
Okay, well, thank you, Joan. I think that's all we have time for today. I know time flies when you're here in studio with us.
I just sat down in this chair.
Anyway, it's been wonderful having you in here again, and we'll look forward
Update
to seeing
next
you next week.
Okay,
bye-bye.